I want to resume here, and I want to first thank you for your comments. Somebody says here, make a section on a web page where the customers can share opinions. And that is interesting, but I have bad news for you. Most people don't come to your web page. For instance, I did some work for Nokia, and it turned out that the top 10 search results on Google for Nokia map activation, none of them actually was Nokia. So the power of what we have here on Facebook, as an example, is that people distribute what they find interesting to their friends. What about influencers here on Facebook? So first of all, there is traditional demographics you can get if you want to target people. And traditional ads, of course, allow you to get very rich targeting data because people, of course, on Facebook are honest about their gender. Because think about it. If they were lying about their gender, their friends would immediately say, what's up with that? You always said you're a man and now you're suddenly a woman? No way. So here's a question about influencer marketing and what's the difference between real life and Facebook? By the way, can we leave the lights a little bit on in the room so I don't just look into the absolute dark, just halfway up, so I know that you're still here? Okay, great. So you all have heard about influencer marketing. Influencer marketing means identify those people who are influential and market to them. By marketing to them, you then reach all of their friends for free. In real life, the chain length between people, 38% of all length are four or longer. Facebook, 86% of all chain length, word of mouth, mouth-to-mouth communication, 86% is four or more people. Huh. Why is that the case? Pushing a button, share, is easier than talking to somebody. Besides, pushing a button, you reach all your friends, whereas talking, very few people are as lucky as me, having hundreds of people actually listening to them. So that key difference of 38% versus 86% means what you know from the real life world is not true in the virtual world. In real life, what matters is to have influencers tell their friends stuff. What matters on Facebook is how good your message is. Don't try to really massage the message. Try to use the feedback you get in making the product better. Or said very simply, don't focus on the influencers, focus on the product. I have many more answers by you, but in the interest of time, I want to move on to the next part, to our third part, namely C2W. I started a search on that other computer for moon fruit. Do you know what moon fruit is? No, I didn't know either. But I just looked at what is a popular search term on Twitter right now, and it turned out that between starting my talk and right now, 10,000 people send out tweets about moon fruit. Tata chega de moon fruit, ha 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 ha, whatever that means. And we can refresh this here. And the point being, while we don't really know what it means, some people, namely 10,000 people, in the last hour found it was worth talking about it. So that's an interesting buzz, isn't it? And it's free. People talk about it, nobody pays for it. You have people's attention if you talk about moon fruit. At the end of the day, we'll try to figure out together what moon fruit means. New media tend to start off as better old media, but then do something very different. So just like television in the early days was people standing around a microphone, TV is not just the better radio, but very different. The web is not just better television, but Facebook with interaction is very different. Twitter is not just better short messages, but it's very different as it is. here's my friend Go Kasai again, and here's his wish list. And these are the books he tells the world he's interested in. This is what I want. This is who I am. That's what I'm interested in. They share their desires. They share their intentions. Here's a video. Nike Plus had the following idea. You get people to share information about themselves with the world. C2W. In this case, it was about running together. You buy a device which you put in your shoe, and as you go running, that device records where you're running, GPS, how fast you're running, etc. Then you upload what you have just done, your run. You upload your run onto the web to a website called NikePlus.com, and the world can see where you're running. I know people always have security concern. Yes, the world could track you down and, you know, do funny things with you, but they can do that anyways. So the key thing here is that you have now found, as a marketer, a very different way to connect with your consumers. So people buy some stuff from you. They shove in their shoe. They connect it to the iPod. And now people come on average 3 times a week to your website. Isn't that a marketer's dream? How often would you go to Nike's website beforehand? Probably never. But once you got that device, you go to the website 3 times a week to compare what you're doing, to compare yourself with others, to do runs with others, to hook up with people, say, hey, let's go running together. Trevor Edwards, who is Nike's corporate vice president of global brand and management, says, we are not in the business of keeping the media companies alive. We're in the business of connecting with consumers and also of consumers connecting with consumers. So I deliberately chose that example as a very physical example, something you shove into your shoe, and something where the consumer shares with the world what data he is creating. Some other examples. In the virtual world, there's something called Delicious. Delicious was bought by Yahoo a couple of years ago. I used to work with Joshua Schachter, who created Delicious. And what people share with the world in Delicious is bookmarks. The bookmarks, the things they find interesting, URLs. So Delicious now allows you to explore. So if you will, there's a web on top of the web. HSM controls the links which it puts elsewhere. But this is what users find useful. So you can, of course, follow HSM's links, but you can also follow the links or the connections people put on top of the web. That is Delicious. Or the example which right now is in everybody's mouth, Twitter. Just want to make the point, where is Delicious? You share URLs with the world. Twitter is even easier. We were actually considering for the conference to allow you to tweet in and to have behind me displayed what your questions are, what your comments are. And I tried it out in my last class at Stanford last week. And you know what all the students did were they wrote jokes behind my back. That's one use of Twitter, to have real-time commenting on what's going on in real life. I looked up marketing. And that was when I made the slides for the store a couple of weeks ago. And there was a social marketing conference in Chicago. And it's interesting how all these things are less than 20 seconds old. So it really is real time. If I want to know what food is good in a certain restaurant, I tweet, I search for that restaurant, and it will tell me, tonight, the taco al pastor, that's what you really should be getting. That is real time search. And here is John Battelle, who started the Web2O conference, who tweets saying, just landed in Atlanta, very long trip, yark. And somebody else just harps and says in a second spader, hey, have you followed what I have been doing with, and then his random website. We can push this even further with this little cartoon. What actually do companies do? Best Buy monitors Twitter for what people are saying about Best Buy. Best Buy has people who watch constantly for the Best Buy tag on Twitter and for related tracks. Now, some people are happy and say, oh, Best Buy is so totally rocks. I just bought this game station and it works so well, or I had awesome service, or Geek Squad came and they fixed all my problems. And other people are not happy. They share it in a C2W way with the world. Now, if somebody's unhappy there, the customer service agent immediately gets online and tries to have a conversation with that person and says, hey, I work for Best Buy. I saw your tweet. I saw that you're not happy. Here's what I can do for you. Do you want me to call you right now? How can I help you? Think about the difference to traditional marketing. You have people in a moment who think about your product, who think about your company, and you can reach them right there, right that moment on Twitter. And you need basically no infrastructure. You need some person who has access to the computer and knows how to type. Not only about people who might be unhappy with your own product, but think about people talking about your competitors. Let's say somebody is not happy with the washing machine they bought at Sears. Nothing wrong with Best Buy talking to that person saying, huh, I saw your tweet. You're not happy with the washing machine. Let's have a conversation. Let's see how we can help you. Or somebody has computer problems. Don't worry about it. Let's send the Geek Squad over to your house. So from marketing or maybe customer service, these are truly unprecedented ways. Slightly more traditionally, Dell using Twitter for promotions. In the first 18 months, which ended December last year, Twitter had a total of 7,000 people who were following. They sold stuff for $1 million. It has exploded in the last 6 months. Exploded in the sense that it's 10 times more people than it was half a year prior to this. So a factor of 10 over a half year, 10 times 10 with the same growth is a factor of 100 over the whole year, is an amazing growth. The revenues are small. They just sold stuff worth $3 million right now. The fixed cost for doing this is essentially zero. You can start tomorrow coming up with some promotion you want to run on Twitter and create your own experiences there. If we think back, ladies and gentlemen, the task used to be connecting computers. Then we moved from connecting computers to connecting pages about 15 years ago. Then the last couple of years, we moved to connecting people. Think Facebook as the example here. What I've been trying to get across to you in the last hour was that what the web really is about, connecting data. I showed you that the car is basically a chip with wheels, and the shoe is essentially a chip with heels. You thought you own the customer because the costs of a customer to going somewhere else were quite high. Unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, I have bad news for you as marketers. You don't own the customer anymore. Customer are very able to check out other places where they might get products which suit them better. And remember, I told you one of the key things about Amazon.com was that Amazon was supporting the decision-making process of the customer. You don't own the customer. Well, you would say, but the product, I know about my product. Bad news there too, because Google knows more about your product than you do. But maybe the brand? At least we own the brand. But no, if you do a search, the brand is owned by the people who talk about your brand and no longer about you. So what's left? Left are sites that are platforms, like this company called GetSatisfaction, where people are going in order to get customer service. They go to a neutral site, and there's this little button saying, I have this problem too. And people enter what they're interested in. Another example here is how we moved from controlled production for the masses to uncontrolled production by the masses. That's why I've lost your brand. Starbucks. My Starbucks idea. So whereas Get Satisfaction was a neutral platform, this site is owned by Starbucks, and it is about sharing, it's about voting, it's about discussing, and it's about seeing what other ideas other people have. 60,000 contributions were there when I checked a few weeks ago. So what the social data revolution really is about, it's about how the mindset of consumers has shifted. People trust reviews. People trust their friends more than they trust official specs. And people use their friends' attention as a filter for information and as a way of discovering things. So the main insight for marketing is that you have to come up with ways how you use that social filter to have people discover your products and services. In closing, a few examples from travel. One website is called flatseats.com, where people discuss in gory detail first and business class seats in much more detail than any airline would share with you. For instance, here, earlier this year, United came out with a new business class, and within days, January 2nd, January 3rd, January 6th, we had detailed reviews, and the question was, I just don't understand why United Airlines could not think outside the box. Did United listen to them? No. Second example, Seat Guru. You want to know which seat you want to sit in? Seat Guru has, by thousands, 10,000 of people, seats labeled on each aircraft. And you know whether that one has that back which doesn't recline fully, or that missing armrest on the lovely exit seat. Or what about hotel rooms? TripKick is an example where every single hotel room gets rated. It's not enough to know that you're staying at the Hilton Hotel in Mexico City. No, it turns out that room number 04 at the end is an oversized room, a nice, quiet corner room. On the other hand, room with 61 at the end has next to the ice machine lots of noise and also is next to the elevator. You probably don't want to stay at that one. Would the hotel tell you that information? Of course not. If you call the Central Hilton reservation line, would they know about it? Probably not. Does the web know about it? Yes. Booking.com, company was purchased by Priceline, now four times larger than Priceline itself, gives you reviews based on your own status. So let's say if you're a single traveler and you really love that hotel, chances are if you're a family with seven children, you might not love that hotel. By conditioning on your specific purpose of traveling and by conditioning on who you are, the reviews which they extract from you are more honest and help other people more. Booking.com, Agoda.com, the Asian part, Priceline.com, of course, in the business of helping you as a customer make better decisions. But sometimes we want to get closer to the intentions. We want to get closer to the future. So here's a company called Virtual Tourist, which allows you to talk not only where you have been, but also in green where you want to visit. You create your own map. You then say where you want to go, and suddenly, in this case, Lufthansa says, hey, we can help you out. If that's where you want to go, these are the special deals you can get. So by you sharing, airlines know your intent, your friends know your intent, and they can make you special deals. Doppler is a company which allows you to share your trips, and it's very powerful because if you, a couple of times a year, happen to go to the same cities as other of your friends, you can be pretty sure that they're going to the same conference where you're going to. JetBlue Airways uses the CWW world of Twitter of giving people special deals, and I was told that they even added flights based on people's intent shown on Twitter. So my last slide here is a few questions for you. Who talks to whom? It's ultimately consumers talking to consumers. Who trusts whom? We have seen the shift in trust from a shift to institutions to a shift to individuals. Who is in control? Well, Business Week quotes me of having invented the word me business a while ago. So we've moved from e-business, where the company is in control, to me business, or in other words, from CRM, customer relationship management, to CMR, to customer managed relationships. Customers want to manage the relationships, not to be managed by the companies. And finally, who pays whom? Not that obvious. For instance, if you have a GPS device and you are leaving it on so certain companies can improve their maps on it, shouldn't those companies be paying you for you helping them make the product better? If I want you to remember one thing from this talk, it is that this pyramid, where it used to be on the top, is actually turning upside down. And it's now that it's the customers in the top. But you're not helpless, because they are sharing with you as a business, C2B. They are sharing on platform with their friends, C2C. And they are sharing with the world, C2W. Gracias. Thank you very much.